is University Forum. I'm Jean Moore, bringing you conversations with outstanding personalities on issues of interest to local, national, and international communities. Our conversation today, a Hurricane Katrina partnership between not only the First Presbyterian Church of Lansdowne, but also the borough of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, and the city of Goshen, Mississippi, a town devastated by the horrendous Hurricane Katrina of August 2005. I have three guests around the table. Dr. James Klingler. He is an elder in the First Presbyterian Church of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, and also a professor of business at Villanova University. And he's the prime mover and motivator in setting up visits from First Presbyterian Church to the city of Goshen, Mississippi. Along with Dr. Klingler, we have his wife, Miss Penny Klingler, also a very active member of the Lansdowne Presbyterian Church, and she's been deeply involved in making visits down to Goshen. Our third guest, the mayor of the borough of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, Ms. Jane Young, who has carried a strong community linkage in this effort. And I want to thank you so much, Mayor Young, for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm delighted to meet you and see you around the table with these members of the Presbyterian Church, which is right there in the borough of Lansdowne. Jim Klingler, you began this important activity early last fall, not too long after the hurricane struck. Is that not right?
Yes. We went down our first time in October, but literally I was like many other people all across the country. As soon as it hit, you felt kind of helpless and wanted to do something. So I'd been casting about a bit for some way to get down and help. And as we all heard, as soon as the hurricane relief effort started, they said, don't come. We don't have water. We don't have sanitation. We don't have any place for volunteers to stay. So I kept waiting and waiting to find an opportunity. And one day I was listening, Morning Edition, I think, and I heard a story about a Salvation Army feeding center in Biloxi that had been cleaned up and basically put back in operation by a group from the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. So I started getting on the web and started digging around and finally was able to contact what we call now PDA and was able to find out that they were opening work camps all across the coast of Mississippi.
Well, what actually is that Presbyterian Disaster
Assistance? PDA is an arm of the National Presbyterian Church USA organization, and it's actually been around for a number of years, and their role primarily has been raising money to send to relief organizations like the Red Cross or the Red Crescent or things of that nature for world disasters. For example, they've been heavily involved in the most recent earthquakes in Pakistan, and they had been heavily involved in funding relief efforts for the tsunami.
Well, then when you heard about PDA being involved and as a Presbyterian yourself, if I recall, the first time I heard about it, I am a member of that church, I must for disclosure say that too, you were having a minute for mission and you brought this to the congregation at the First Presbyterian Church.
Yes, I did. I was basically asking them to join on a trip and join in supporting a trip. And we found out that there was a tremendous amount of interest and pent-up longing by a lot of people to do something. It was very frustrating to be so far away and yet see it portrayed as it was on the television. It was frustrating to be unable to do something. And PDA provided us with the opportunity to get down there, and we stayed. We went down on October 10th of 2005 and spent a week.
Well, now, how did you organize the who would be going and what you'd be taking with you?
Volunteers. We asked friends that we knew might be interested in this sort of thing, and we just opened it up to anyone from the church or the community who would like to go.
What did you take with you? It seems to me you were asking for tools and all kinds of things.
We wanted money for tools. We had been told that there was a tremendous need for those sorts of things. We needed money for our own keep. You basically need to reimburse the church. We were staying on the grounds of the Goshen Presbyterian Church in a tent camp that PDA set up there.
Is that the linkage between why you went to Goshen rather than any place else on the Gulf at that time?
We went to Goshen because Goshen was the only camp that was up and running at the time we went down. There were other camps that were partially going. PDA has five camps in Mississippi. So it was the camp we could get to. And we called a couple of people that we thought would be interested in going, and they signed on right away. And we ended up on that first trip with seven of us going down. And our pastor, of course, Pastor Nancy Holt, jumped at the chance to go, even though she's not much on the way of camping.
But now, you haven't mentioned the one person around this table who went with you.
Oh, of course,
and
my wife, Penny.
She's not at all related to
well,
you, right?
Penny went along, didn't you, dear?
Sure.
What was that like, Penny, going down with this group?
It's even when you see it on television, and it's very hard to wrap your mind around this disaster. And even going and witnessing it firsthand, the devastation is so beyond the scope of anything that I had ever experienced before. I've had very minimal experience with hurricanes. It's made it very hard to stay away. I think there's a little bit of a fear that you come back and you get absorbed into your daily life and your social relationships, and you will forget. So we keep wanting to go back.
Well, let's talk about when you were there, though. Did you meet some of the people right off yourself? Or you?
When we arrived, the torch, so to speak, was passed on by two people who were remaining from a large group from Florida that had been there the previous week. There had been people from Florida and Arkansas living in this camp and working. Most of them had left by the time we arrived. So we got our instructions from these two people. And there was a representative from the church who was acting as the liaison between the church and the tent village and also the community. And he was collecting all of the requests for assistance and making assessments as to whom this group could help.
Well, now, Jim, you took some materials because the idea was to go down as a working group. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We had been told that the type of work we would be doing would be basically ripping people's homes apart. So we took down those types of tools with the intent of leaving them there so that other groups could use them. And that basically is the way the tool crib at all of these camps has been built up, either that or by people coming down and purchasing tools locally.
So did you actually get into what you thought you were going to do as far as tearing down?
Yes, we did, although I must say in all my habitat work, it has always been going the other way. We've been building stuff up, and I've never really been involved in demolition before, but it was basically going into a flooded home and tearing everything out, appliances, flooring, the walls, the insulation, taking down the ceilings, doing all of this stuff.
It's heartbreak. Everybody's life was bleeding across their lawn. There were huge piles in front of every single house, old family photographs and children's toys, and in addition to appliances. And our daughter was also one of the ones who, of that first trip, and she found a puppy in one trash pile. Its ear looked about 10 weeks old. Its ears were badly chewed away and crusty and bleeding. And our vet said that it was because of the flies. He saw the picture of this puppy. He said, puppy's ears are so tender that flies can eat them down to the bone in a matter of a week. And there were flies everywhere. You can imagine with all of the rotting stuff that had floated out of people's houses and was just sitting there then in the sun after the flies were unbelievable.
Now, and you mentioned an animal, and this is an area, of course, that has become more and more important to know what's happened to the animals. Let me ask a little bit about what Gaucher is like. And then also, Mayor Young, you might want to mention how this compares with Lansdowne. Jim, what are the demographics that you found down there as far as Gaucher
is a community that is right on the Gulf Coast. The Gulf Coast of Mississippi is about 80 miles wide, and it's on the eastern side of it. The only large community between it and the eastern border with Alabama is Pascagoula. It's about 50 square miles. The vast majority of that landmass, however, is creeks and bayous and swamps. It had at the time of the hurricane, 19,000 residents in 50 square miles. So that's not particularly dense, particularly when Mary Young tells you about Lansdowne. Demographically, it is a racially mixed community, about 60% Caucasian and the rest various minorities. Economically, it is, I think the average income in the community is around $40,000 a year. It's a lovely community with a lot of churches, stores, restaurants. It doesn't have a main street per se. It has a large U.S. 90 that goes through it, and all along that U.S. 90 are the stores and things that support the economy there.
So in many ways, not so different from where you live in Lansdowne.
Not at all.
Maria?
Yeah, no, our population is just under 11,000, but we're 1 square mile as opposed to the 19. What did you say was
50 square
50
miles.
Square miles and 19,000. But the demographics are similar, that we are a mixed race community. We have our financial economics, our financial demographics are very similar to what Gaucher was. So it was really easy for us to connect to them and those from that point of view.
So there you are now in this area that's similar to where you meaning Jim and Penny, have been living for some time, and you find yourself now with all of this devastation in front of you. Mm-hmm. What was it like as far as talking with people about how it felt to be in this condition and what they went through? Did they say much about that, Jim?
Oh, boy.
Everybody loves to tell their story. Some people...
They need to.
They need to tell it as part of their own healing. And we needed to hear it. It gave you a different sense when you were working in the home of someone that you had met than someone who you had not. Right. On our first trip, we met a woman, Sister Hannah Muhammad, African-American woman, obviously Muslim, a widow, 72 years old, who had been a foster mother and is hoping to go back to that as soon as her home is repaired. The camp in Gaucher has sent several different crews to her over this period of time. We were tearing things out. On Jim's last trip in January, there was a crew that was building things up, putting in wallboard for her. The fostering agency that she worked for sent a crew that replaced ceilings. We had thought when we were there in October that the ceilings were okay, but some other rains and stuff made it evident that they were not. So
there were changes being made.
So there were
along.
Changes. And she was the most wonderful woman. She, generous, upbeat, she wanted to cook for us. And, you know, when you're thinking about all of your life being torn apart, you somehow expect that to take a long time. And it only took 7 people a very short time to tear apart her house. So she wasn't prepared. She wanted us to come back for a meal another day.
And to do all kinds of things. And let me remind our audience that you're listening to University Forum. We're discussing the Hurricane Katrina and the visits and work being done now between people from the Lansdowne area, Lansdowne Borough in Pennsylvania, with people in Gaucher, Mississippi. Go on and talk a little bit more about some of the kinds of things that happened. You're particularly interested in children and all, I think, what you've been
we
saying.
We saw no children.
There were no children.
In October, we saw no children at all. The school had just reopened the week before in Gaucher. The elementary schools were extremely damaged. Our daughter ended up doing a lot of administrative work in the camp. Someone needed to stay in the camp and answer phones and set things up. And while she was photocopying, she met teachers. None of the photocopying machines. Imagine being in an elementary school that has no photocopying ability. Mm-hmm. You know, that just teachers depend on that. Mm-hmm. So she met them in Staples, and they were expecting a big old carnival cruise ship to come into Pascagoula, and there were 300 children evacuated families who then were going to be absorbed into the Gaucher School District.
Mm. Well, now, with what was happening then with the children, how many of the people who were in Gaucher, or what portion of that group, actually were evacuated or were made to leave their town?
The people who lived immediately on the water's edge were forcibly evacuated, although there are a couple stories of some people who stayed. FEMA has a sort of an imaginary line that's drawn all along some of these coastal areas, even up and down, you know, New Jersey coast and things. And it has to do with what they believe will be the 25-year flood line, the 50-year flood line, the 100-year flood line. And so they were staging the evacuations in that regard. Eventually, I believe the governor of Mississippi ordered everyone to evacuate all the coastal areas. But many people had been there through many hurricanes. And the little bayou behind them had never posed a problem, nor had the little creek that ran deep in the woods that was 100 yards behind the house. So many of them ended up riding this storm out because they just didn't believe the warnings.
Was there much loss of life there, or is that something that did not happen because
of... In Goshen, there was very... To my knowledge, there was no loss of life. Mm-hmm. Further west, there was considerable loss of life. You have to understand that this entire coast, the typical height above sea level, is between 8 and 12 feet. The storm surge that was coming in front of Katrina that slammed unobstructed into the Mississippi coast ranged from 30 to 22 feet. And it just, imagine a giant wall of water being pushed into up these creeks and up these other areas into the bayous, and it just filled up and overflowed and just caught many people unaware.
It's amazing there was no loss of life.
Well, in Pearlington, which is right on the border between Louisiana and Mississippi, and there's a PDA camp there too, there were 9 people whose homes were flooded, and they managed to swim their way to the local middle school, which unfortunately was completely overtaken by water, and they all drowned in the school. So in Pearlington and in a couple of the other communities that are in the western part of the coast, there was loss of life.
Penny, you mentioned to me that when you went down, there was a lady or had moved up to the top floor of the attic or something of that sort.
Oh, there was a couple who lived near a bayou, retired couple. Most of these houses are built on slabs, and they're only one story high. They had never had flooding in their house. So most of these people that we were helping had no flood insurance because they weren't considered to be a flood risk. As the water came up, they were able to crawl up into a crawl space in their attic, and they had the foresight to take water and chairs with them, but they realized when they got there that they had no tools for breaking through the roof and there were no windows. So if the water continued to rise, they were trapped in the attic and had no way to get out. Fortunately, the water didn't rise that much farther.
They were quite traumatized.
Yes. And they lived for five and a half weeks in their carport. Mm. And the last week of that, there was a FEMA trailer sitting in their front yard, but they couldn't get into it because FEMA would not turn over the keys until the inspectors had been able to come and verify that the electrical and plumbing was okay.
Jim, what do you think about something like that?
It was frightening, and I have to tell you.
And the mayor, I know we are very interested in licenses and inspections and all of that, but what would you think about something like that, to have that kind of a barrier to surviving practically?
I absolutely have no idea why any organization that has the means and the resources would hold anything back in the face of people doing without. It boggles the mind that you would make those decisions that way.
Remember when this hit? This is August. I don't know if you've ever been to the Gulf Coast in August, but and this was an elderly couple. She actually was a cancer survivor, and he was not well. So they were living out in the Mississippi heat doing that. I have to tell you, the infrastructure for these communities was totally overwhelmed. No one expected that. I can remember going one time when I was down there to speak to one of the code enforcement fellows because I needed to know how many courses of shingles you could have on a roof according to code down there. I know what it is in Lansdowne, but I didn't know what it was there. And so we looked up all this stuff, and he was really cordial and really polite. And I explained what I was doing, that we were helping this couple with their home. And at the end of the conversation, he said, can you guys come help me? His home was completely flooded to the up beyond the eaves, and he was himself putting himself back together, but he was also going to work every day.
That's very, very, very difficult. Now, I want to ask the mayor, knowing all that was going on then with this group, what was your thought about the community of Lansdowne being involved, and who got expanding, who was expanding this group that was now going?
Well, it actually, one of our friends, Claire Tui, who came to me, she called me up and said, we have to do something and we have to do it tomorrow, which she was so enthusiastic and wanted to dive right in and send things down and fix the whole problem for them single-handedly. And then fortunately for she and I, she ran into Jim and they had a conversation about going down. So we started advertising that we should have a meeting and see if we could find people that would be interested in this whole project. So we did that, and we got quite a cross-section of town at that first meeting. And Jim came, and he brought us slides so that he could show us what we would actually be dealing with and where we could best help mm-hmm. that community. And that's how we found Gaucher, because originally we were thinking, oh, we'll go down to New Orleans, or we'll just go, just dive right in. And having a connection, Jim's experience, Jim and Penny having been there, met some of the people, there was resources there. There was enough of a connection that we could do mm-hmm. this and mesh it in and make sense.
Well, now, you have groups that have expanded it. I guess I've heard that the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts.
Local Girl Scout troop collected specifically for Girl Scouts and Girl Scout activity. One of our other churches, our Methodist church, mm-hmm. has sent work crews down, and they mm-hmm. came to that first meeting because they knew they wanted to be involved. And instead of reinventing the wheel, it's been nice that they've been able to learn from everyone else's mm-hmm. experiences. The Boys and Girls Club of Lansdowne sent, when we filled the truck, we sent a truck down there in January. And when we did that, the Boys and Girls Club sent used and new sports equipment mm-hmm. and uniforms, things like that.
So you had all of that, and then the libraries and all, were they involved in some ways?
The library is still working to get mm-hmm. involved. They're not sending books down. They're trying to do special mm-hmm. fundraising so they can collect.
The buildings need to be put, the libraries need to be physically put back together before they can deal with a collection.
The actual books, yeah.
But we send things, the borough of Lansdowne every year, as when people's bikes are stolen and you find bikes abandoned on the side of the road, the borough would just put them in the police garage. And then once or twice a year, they clean everything out. And some of these things were kind of nice. And so the borough said, well, look, you know what? Nobody's claimed these bikes. We'll send bicycles down.
Well, so what actually, the town of Lansdowne and the town of Gaucher, is there a formal relationship that has been established?
As formal as I guess you can between, in this distance, but through the work of Jim and the church, yes.
Well, borough council did pass an ordinance.
We did, yeah.
They voted formally to make us sister cities.
That's a very, very important thing to share with our audience. Sister cities.
It's fun.
Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, in Delaware County, and a town so far away in so much need.
Jim had talked about how it wasn't really very efficient to drive a truck down filled with all of this stuff, but in terms of finances, but the people connection of the people who gave things and the people who received it was worth every penny. The Girl Scout leader had managed to get 20 computers donated, and one of them went to the Girl Scout leader in Gaucher, and she cried. Mm. And I'd heard about this. Jim had delivered that computer personally to her at a Girl Scout meeting on a Friday night. So in church on Sunday, I told Jackie that it had been delivered and this woman had cried. And Jackie said, oh, I know she did. She went right home and set up her computer. She was still crying when she emailed me that night.
Oh, what a thing to open up that linkage.
There's a senior center in Lansdowne which donated games and puzzles and things for the senior center there, which had been wiped out. And so mm-hmm. with the Sister City program, what they're doing is connecting organization to organization. And the town manager at Gaucher told Jim that other communities have promised things, but Lansdowne was the only one that had followed through.
Is that right? Yeah. And you're following through by planning to go down again?
Yes. I'm going down again in a couple of weeks, but not to Gaucher through a clerical error. We registered to go to Gaucher, and our registration was lost, and the camp, and this is the best part of this, the camps are full. Every volunteer camp in Mississippi was so full that they couldn't take us, and I had to scramble to find a connection, so we're going to New Orleans this time.
So maybe that's good, because
it's
others
wonderful.
Have picked up on this whole thing,
it's
and they're continuing to do this. And I just want to thank you for sharing all of this with our
You're
audience.
Welcome. You're welcome.
And tell you that people will want to know what happens as you continue on this journey to try to help others and to do something about what has been a horrendous, horrendous event. I thank you for being my guest on University Forum. Mayor Young.
Thank you.
Dr. James Klingler. And Miss Penny Klingler.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Here.
Please send your comments or questions on University Forum to me by email, jemore@wrti.org, or call my voicemail, 215-204-4376.